Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your patriotic, American-loving host, Cicely Davis, and so happy and blessed and fortunate and honored that you have joined me yet again. For those of you who are new to the channel, welcome. Coming at you from Minnesota. For those of you who are loyalists, my ride or dies, as I like to call you, welcome back with your savage selves. I couldn't do this without you. Thank you so very much. You are a true blessing. You are the reason that I decide to show up and do this every single week. But whether you're new or returning, my ask is always the same: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into this week's haps. Portland, Oregon. Portland. The very, very Democratic city of Portland. Another one of those anything goes kind of cities. A socialist city, a communist city, progressive in their social experiments, like decriminalizing drug possession and providing facilities where addicts can partake of their drugs freely and out in the open without worry or fear of arrest. In fact, there's nurses there. There were nurses there and or health officials on site to assist in cases of overdoses or if help is needed in case of, you know, the predicted overdoses and other adverse health occurrences, because that's actually what happens in dope houses and with addicts. Yes. Portland, Oregon, where the city's bold experiment in drug decriminalization has reached the pinnacle of success by proving that letting people casually tote around their hard drugs without consequences was, in fact, a masterclass in futility. Now, you'll have to forgive my sarcasm, but the left gives us so much to laugh about and pick at that I just couldn't help myself. So here it is, folks. The groundbreaking initiative, which once made it trendy to treat drug possession as a mere social faux pas rather than a serious offense, is being rolled back with all the fanfare of a once failed science project. It's being discontinued. You see, it turns out that the progressive utopia envisioned by the decriminalization enthusiasts has managed to achieve its goal of creating a real life dystopia, prompting officials to grudgingly admit that maybe, just maybe, making drug possession a crime again might be a step in the right direction. Who knew? Who knew that allowing people to carry around their favorite substances without consequences would lead to such unforeseen chaos? You just gotta love Democrats. Savage Truth is, it's almost poetic. It's literally almost poetic that Portland's experiment, which was hailed as the revolutionary breakthrough in drug policy, is now being wrapped up like a season finale of a reality TV show that nobody bothered to watch. The city's decision to once again criminalize possession of small amounts of hand drugs is a spectacular acknowledgement that turning a blind eye to drug use didn't exactly lead to the enlightenment and prosperity once predicted. Who could have guessed that treating a serious issue with lackadaisical attitude would result in more problems rather than fewer? Who would have predicted that? It's almost as if treating drug possession like a minor misdemeanor was a poorly conceived idea from the start. But hey, at least Portland's experiment provided a cautionary tale for anyone else considering that experimenting with the fundamental laws of society is a surefire way to ensure a spectacular mess. This, of course, leads me to ask the very fundamental and savage question: what, if anything, have Democrats touched that's actually been good? What have they touched or done that's actually been successful, has actually been good for Americans? Which makes me think of Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden actually, I don't know if you've heard, pled guilty to tax fraud. Do you think he did so to be good, to be honorable? Suddenly had this revelation that being transparent and admitting the glaring obvious would be the best and the right thing to do? Or are you something like me with heavy skepticism, predicting a pardon for all charges as dear old dad leaves the White House? Because I think that Hunter Biden is realizing that his criminal goose is cooked. I don't believe, or anyone else believes, that he'll see any time behind bars, because dear old dad has a get out of jail free card that he's ready to present. But let's move on to another Democrat, head Democrat, okay? Another donkey in the arena. And I'm talking about the top donkey right now of the female persuasion. I'm talking about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, Kamala the chameleon. And I'm talking about 2 months, folks, and counting. 2 months of no interviews, no appearances, nothing to say. Kamala Harris, our ever mysterious vice president, has been playing hide and seek with the media so expertly that she might just have earned herself a gold medal in the game of dodgeball. I mean, this woman has managed to avoid taking a single personal interview since announcing her run for president, a feat so impressive that it should be recorded in the Guinness World Records under most successful evasion of accountability. The reason behind her vanishing act? Who knows? Perhaps she's still trying to figure out how to answer a question without tripping over her own convoluted rhetoric. It's not exactly a bold move for someone who aspires to the highest office in the land. Imagine if the president played this game. America would be missing in action with an executive branch that only communicates via interpretive dance. Harris's aversion to the press is nothing short of legendary. She appears to have been trained by Houdini himself, performing disappearing acts that would make even the most seasoned illusionist envious. It's almost as if she believes that staying out of the public eye will shield her from scrutiny. Or perhaps she's just saving up for a grand reveal where she'll finally explain her notorious flip-flops on major issues. One moment, she's a staunch defender of a progressive cause, and the next, she's doing a complete 180 as though she's been hit with a whirlwind of policy confusion. The level of inconsistency is not just bewildering, it's a masterclass in political acrobatics. Let's not forget her talent for pandering to different audiences. The Kamala Harris Experience features a dynamic range of accents and personas that she deploys as needed. When addressing Black audiences, she's known to switch her accent as if she's auditioning for a role in an old school soul band. It's like watching a bad Saturday Night Live skit where the lead actor is so desperate to fit in, they end up offending everyone. Kamala Harris's ability to seamlessly transform her identity to suit the audience is both impressive and deeply unsettling and offensive and laughable. If her presidential bid were a movie, it'd be a comedy with a plot twist you'd never see coming, except it's not funny. And it's actually just tragic. Her remarkable skill in shifting political stances is enough to make a chameleon green with envy. The way Kamala Harris flips her positions on key issues is reminiscent of a carnival game where the goal is to keep your eyes on the ball when it moves in unpredictable directions. One day she's for advocating for a radical policy shift, and the next she's renouncing it as though she's had a complete change of heart. It's a pattern that suggests either an utter lack of conviction or a desperate attempt to please everyone, neither of which is particularly reassuring for a leader who should embody stability and consistency. The irony here is that Harris's attempts to be all things to all people have led her to become nothing more than a political weather vane. She's spun around so many times that it's hard to know which way she's actually facing. The public's trust in her is akin to trusting a weatherman who promises sunshine while it's clearly raining outside. If you're looking for a leader who stands firm on principles, Harris's might be the last person you'd want to hitch your wagon to. Unless, of course, you enjoy constant disappointment and erratic policy shifts. And of course, as you know, and I've said it so many times, Dems absolutely love to be lied to as long as they're willing to stay in power and hate on Donald Trump. One has to wonder how someone who avoids interviews, flips positions like a pancake, and panders with such apparent disingenuousness can seriously be considered a viable presidential candidate. It's almost as though the Democratic Party, in its infinite wisdom, has chosen the most untrustworthy figure to run for the highest office. It's a bit like hiring a contractor who promises to finish your house renovation in record time, but spends most of the day avoiding your calls and changing his plans on a whim. Let's not ignore the elephant in the room, Harris's blatant opportunism. It's as if she views her candidacy as a personal career ladder rather than a serious attempt to lead the country. Her every move seems calculated to boost her profile rather than address the real issues facing Americans. This self-serving approach to politics doesn't inspire confidence. It breeds skepticism and resentment. It's worth noting, however, that leadership requires more than just the ability to give a good speech or make a few token gestures. It demands consistency and reliability and a genuine connection with the public. Harris's apparent disregard for these fundamental aspects of leadership suggests she's in way over her head, that she's just simply not qualified. The glaring absence of personal interviews and her tendency to sidestep tough questions only deepen the sense that she's not prepared for the rigors of presidency. And as I conclude, savage Americans, I have to say Kamala Harris's campaign is a masterclass in political evasiveness and opportunism. From her Houdini-like media maneuvers to her ever fluctuating stances on issues, she embodies everything a responsible voter should be wary of. Her affinity for pandering with an almost cartoonish level of insincerity only serves to underscore why she is, quite frankly, an untrustworthy presidential candidate. If the Democrat Party is serious about winning over the American public, they may want to reconsider their choice and find someone who can actually inspire confidence rather than embodying every negative stereotype of political chameleons. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful. Don't be like Kamala. Be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.